Well, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Tuesday lunch hour. Pretty much a straight shot of sunshine today, actually. Not seeing a lot of rain. We did get quite a bit over the last number of days. More in the forecast as well. Happy for the people in the northern part of our province that were praying for rain because of the forest fires that have been burning there. We've seen a couple of two- or three-day soakers that have made an incredible difference in advancing the firefighting efforts up there. So such good news. Still a couple of fires uncontained, but they will hopefully be able to get a handle on those in the next week. And if they happen to get a bit more moisture, that will go a long way. We actually notice as the firefighters kind of become under control in our province and in other provinces as well, air quality has improved as well. A lot better, certainly, than what we were seeing a month ago. But that doesn't mean the concerns are gone completely. Smoke itself can have a lasting impact on our province from a few different angles. And earlier this month, so it wasn't this weekend, but last weekend, I was driving in my vehicle and listening to Real Ag on the Weekend with Sean Haney, which you can listen to on this station. And he's got a guest on talking about how smoke can affect our plants, our crops, and might be hurting them more this season in our province because of how prevalent the smoke was. I thought, man, this is a guest we got to get on the program. So that's why I'm happy to have Matt Makins joining us today on the program. A formal education in atmospheric science and a professional background in communication as well. So he's the perfect guy. He can blend both of those things and bring it together in a way that helps him communicate this work. And he does work globally, clients from United States, Canada, Australia. In fact, we find Matt today in his office, which is down in Denver. Makins Weather is the name of the company. Matt Makins joins me by phone. Matt, thanks so much for taking the call.
My pleasure. Happy to speak with you.
So I want to know about your career. So were you a weather, were you a TV weatherman at one time? What was your career and how did you get to what you're doing today?
Sure. Well, you know, just a lifelong passion in weather and how the path is laid before all of us. You know, you take certain turns and turn around and go back and then take a different path, those kinds of things. But, you know, formal education was all in really atmospheric modeling. You know, you think of energy renewables, coal-fired power plants, those plumes. That's what I was trained in, was atmospheric modeling and how the physics of the atmosphere works. So that's the formality of it. But, you know, through life's twists and turns, we kind of cut out a lot of that work due to some regulations, governmental regulations, and I really needed a job. And a buddy said, hey, I got a weekend job on this TV station. Can you come work for me for a bit? I did. It went well. I thought, well, that was fun while it lasted. Another station called, said, hey, we want you. And so after 20 years of being in television all across the country and the national networks, communications seemed to be where I was cut out to be. Mm-hmm. But I always had this atmospheric physics and modeling on the side because that's not really applicable in, you know, communications. And I thought, you know, I'm seeing, especially in ag industries, energy, there's a huge disconnect in what the modeling is doing or the scientists are doing and saying and what the public perceives or hears. So I tried to bridge the gap and have been successfully doing so since 2016. So left 20 years of television and said, I can blend my real science nerd side of me into this communication side, which was also successful, and help folks out, just mm-hmm. kind of bridge the gap between the science and the application.
Well, let's talk about that. Matt Makins is my guest, and by the way, the website is makinsweather.com. Great website. I was on it last night, but tell me what's different about what you do, Makins Weather. Who are your clients, and how are you different than, say, for example, in Canada, we've got Environment Canada, we've got the Weather Network. How is yours a little different than that?
The biggest difference is how it is communicated. The vast majority of clients that have come to me have said, what are your packages? What do you offer? And I say, I don't offer packages. What do you want? And they say, well, I'm really interested in precip for the next 30 days. What are my best chances? I'll say, okay, we'll create that. the data for weather exists all over the place, whether it be for tomorrow, tonight, go out 6 months, go out 12 months. The data is available. So what I do is I cater to folks' needs, and if they have a weather problem, I try to solve it. It might be snow removal companies and helping their staffing. It might be golf courses that worry about frost. We have custom frost products. It may be, you know, the biggest industry I serve is ag, because there's a huge disconnect in the next 3, 6, 9, 12 month outlooks. Where do you find that information, and how do you digest it as a producer? What's my takeaway? Hey, I'm growing cereal grains in southern Canada. Tell me about 9 months from now. That type of information is what sets me apart from a lot.
So it's kind of, it's customized forecasting. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. That's a one-liner. Customized forecasting. What you want, I deliver. Mm-hmm. Not what I want you to have. What you want, I will deliver.
So let's talk a little bit about the smoke. I heard you on with Sean Haney on Real Ag on the weekend, and that's what actually caught my attention. But you were talking about, we often will think about smoke and air quality, about what it's doing to us. It's not good to breathe it in. We tell people to restrict the amount of time they're doing strenuous activities outdoors when there's heavy smoke in the air. But you were really coming at it from a different standpoint. Can you talk about the impact smoke can have on crops?
Absolutely. The farther you get away from that fire area, you're certainly going to have that smoke in the air, right? But maybe it's aloft. Maybe it's well into the atmosphere, and you're not really noticing it from like a smell perspective, but you look at your sky and say, that's filled with smoke. All of that particulate matter, the little tiny pieces of ash, that is all a climate impactor. It changes how the sun penetrates the atmosphere, how much sun is coming in. And if you're changing that in a very basic level, you're changing how much energy, or in this case, heat, you're receiving over a big area. So if you look at, say, the smoke across Canada today, most of it is prevalent, say, Peace Region and north. Well, that area is not absorbing the sunshine that it otherwise would if that smoke wasn't there. So from just a very basic standpoint, you're changing your energy balance, how much heat you're receiving. Mm-hmm. But then it goes farther. When we try to create rain, obviously critical to the ag industry and to fight fires also, the way that humidity works, it floats around in the sky and it looks for little particles to cling to. And then all of its buddies, all these other little tiny droplets of humidity come together and they coalesce, we call it. They merge on these little particles. So if we have added a great deal of this particulate matter, these small, tiny little pieces of ash, now we're changing the dynamic of how clouds form or rain forms in an area that otherwise would have had a different process. So the longer you keep the smoke around, or the more that it's there, the bigger the impact will become. Mm. And the farther away from the fires you are, you're going to have changes in how that sunlight is received at the surface. For corn, there's some studies that suggest corn loves having smoke in the air because the intensity of the sunlight is somewhat diffused. So you've changed that absorbable kind of daylight, if you will, for corn. And so some studies say, hey, corn is more effective at growing when it has smoke. But, of course, there are other caveats. Well, we changed the rainfall pattern because of the process we described. So it's very convoluted and complex. But just adding smoke into a region does create all these downstream ripple effects, and they can be huge. They can be global impactors, not just local, not just provincial, but they can be global impactors as well.
Yeah, and are these impacts long-term or are they short-term? So, for example, if we have excessive smoke in the air over an extended period of time while the crop has been seeded and it's starting to grow, is it an impact just felt with this year's crop, or could it be impactful further out than that?
If you change that, let's talk about soil moisture, obviously critical, okay? And let's say that we've just had nothing but smoke in the air for the last 10 years. Well, you've changed the dynamic of that soil. It's probably going to be drier. So yes, if based on your scale, if you really scale things out, yeah, you'll obviously change all elements of growing that crop, from soil conditions, perhaps nutrients in the soil will have shifted, all those factors. You get your dial and you go, just show me super short term. Let's say we haven't had any recent fires and all we're dealing about is for a week and my corn is in the ground and it's growing. Your impact is obviously going to be much more minimal in that case.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating stuff. I actually watched a report that was done. One of our national news services had done, it might have been CTV News, on the impact that serious heat has with thick smoke. So these are these very, very hot days. Is that what you were getting into when you're talking about humidity and how it mixes with the smoke?
It can, yes. When you get the stagnant air, the smoke around you, that visual clue is already telling you that the weather pattern is stagnant. If the weather pattern was very robust and energetic, you wouldn't be seeing that smoke anyway. It'd be blown out. It'd be blown out to the Atlantic Ocean or up over the pole, whatever the case may be. So just visually seeing that smoke so persistently in place is already telling you the atmospheric pattern is somewhat lame over you. And when that is the case, you're likely going to get heat on increasing, and it's a compounding effect now that by adding smoke. So, yes, I'll take the case of what we're about to see, okay, because the weather pattern is shifting here over the last 10 days and will continue to shift. We've seen a lot of that smoke coming at us from our northwest, the fires to the north, northern Alberta, northeastern British Columbia, but we're going to see a shift, and we're starting to in the southern part of the province already. We're grabbing smoke from Utah down in the States and sending it up over the Rockies of Montana and into the southern part of the province. So we're seeing this pattern shift, and that shift will come with humidity. It's a dynamic system that impacts the lower 48 of the U.S. It gives moisture to New Mexico and Utah. But that weather pattern shift is going to grab that smoke and send it northward, along with more humidity.
Hmm.
It's fascinating to me how all of these elements are kind of, they're all keyed in together.
Right.
But then the downstream impacts, like, wow, look at, I mean, this one fire is sending smoke 12,000 miles away. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating stuff, Matt, and I appreciate you breaking it down for us here today. Thanks so much for making some time for us.
You bet. Long and short of it, you're going to have smoke around. It's coming from the States. It's coming from your west. Sadly, it's just the long-term trend of this summer. But patience and just look at it with fascination like I do.
Matt Makins, our guest, founder of Makins Weather. And again, you can find them online at makinsweather.com. I heard him on Real Ag and thought, let's get him on our show. It's an interesting piece of work that he does, really customized weather. So not customized in that he can change the weather, but he does customized weather forecasting for businesses, many different industries. But he talked about a lot of the work that he does has to do tied very closely to ag industry in Canada and the United States. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.